It's Thursday, February 24, 2011. I'm Albert Moeller, and this is The Briefing, a daily analysis of news and events from a Christian worldview. Well, even as international events crowded the news media, the reality is that yesterday is going to be more remembered for an announcement made by the Attorney General of the United States. Attorney General Eric Holder informed Congress yesterday that President Obama has ordered the Department of Justice to cease all efforts to defend DOMA, that is, the Defense of Marriage Act. You'll remember that that act was put into place in 1996 when the state of Hawaii was poised to legalize same-sex marriage. Congress and the President of the United States at the time, Bill Clinton, were concerned that something had to be done to defend marriage and to allow the federal government the right to define what marriage is. The other concern back in 1996 was whether if one state adopted same-sex marriage as a legal option, other states would be required by the Commerce Clause to recognize those same marriages. Well, the DOMA, that is the Defense of Marriage Act, passed by overwhelming majorities back in 1996. In the Senate, the vote was 85-14. In the House, the vote was 342-67. President Bill Clinton, who after all had, as one of his very first actions, dealt with the military and the homosexuality issue, coming up with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, a man who had run with very eager and active gay support, he signed the bill into law in very short order after both houses of Congress had so clearly, by immense majorities, passed the law. But that was 1996. As politicians are wont to say, that was then, and this is now. Fast forward to the year 2008, and presidential candidate Barack Obama was very clear about his total and very honest disagreement with DOMA. He said that he wished that Congress would, after all, rescind the Defense of Marriage Act, and he implied if not, the court should do the rescinding themselves. Now, what we face in the situation that was announced by the Attorney General of the United States is something that is not unprecedented, but is extremely unusual in American history. One of the chief responsibilities of the President of the United States, remember after all that it is in his oath of office, is to defend the laws that are duly placed into effect by Congress and signed into law by the President. In other words, he is to defend the laws of the nation. Well, in this case, the President of the United States has ordered his Attorney General not to cease enforcing the law, but to cease defending it against constitutional challenges. Now, the bottom line in all of this is that you can expect the Defense of Marriage Act to fail, that is, to fall. Some court at the federal level is going to render it unconstitutional because it will lack its main constitutional defender, that is, the main attorney for the United States, being himself the Attorney General. This is going to be a very interesting story as it unfolds, but we need to note a couple of things right up front. First of all, this tells us that the President of the United States has made a political calculation. Just as recently as the end of last year, President Obama described his own personal position on same-sex marriage as constantly evolving. Well, we can now say that it has evolved to the place that he has ordered his Attorney General to cease all defense of the law against constitutional challenges. The other thing we can say is that we're clearly going to see the Defense of Marriage Act fall. It is almost inevitable. There are presently two challenges to the constitutionality of DOMA, both of them at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second District. This is also, of course, in the background of the fact that the appeal from Proposition 8 in California is soon to be headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. There are a lot of questions to be asked here. Why did the president take this action at this time? The White House says that his hand was forced by a deadline set by the Court of Appeals for the Second District. You'll remember that the White House had defended DOMA as recently as last year. But other things are coming into alignment as well. This president is going to be running for re-election, and he very clearly needs the support of the gay rights activists who have been very much supportive of his 2008 candidacy. In addition, just in the days prior to this decision, newspapers such as the New York Times editorialized calling for the president to indeed do what the announcement said he would do yesterday, that is, cease the defense of the Defense of Marriage Act. We need to note that more liberal politicians have been playing their own political game for some time. The game goes this way. They say that they are not personally supportive of same-sex marriage, But then in their actions in office, they do nothing to defend marriage, natural marriage, as the exclusive union of a man and a woman. Now, that is a game that is coming to an end. It is not plausible for this president to play Hamlet, suggesting that his own personal position on same-sex marriage is somehow undecided. But before we leave that, we need to notice that conservative politicians often play their own game with the issue as well. They say that they're supportive of natural marriage, that they believe that marriage should be defined exclusively as the union of a man and a woman, but they do so without taking on any personal risk. Now remember that when you hear conservative politicians call for a constitutional amendment for the federal government to be allowed to define marriage. Where were they when that was much needed and when some political courage might have made it politically viable? I think the most interesting aspect of the announcement that came Wednesday is the fact that the President of the United States and his administration have clearly made the political calculation that they can move ahead in this direction without significant political risk. That tells us a great deal, at least, about how the President of the United States judges the American people to stand on this issue. He believes he can move forward without paying a devastating political price. The reality is that he just might be right. Time will tell, and time will tell very shortly. But mark your calendar for yesterday. Yesterday now marks a milestone in the betrayal of marriage. On the international scene, the debacle in Libya continues as the citizens of that nation continue their protests, especially the young. And by the way, the young in Libya are very young. Some estimate that fully 70% are under the age of 30. But there's also a good deal now being revealed about not only the despotic but the decadent reign of the Gaddafi family. And yes, that's the right way to put it, the Gaddafi family. The New York Times has reported thoroughly on this, and so also the Wall Street Journal. In an article in the New York Times entitled Inside the Gaddafis, Lavish Spending, Rampant Nepotism, and Bitter Rivalries, Scott Shane documents many of the WikiLeaks cables about Libya that offer a very revealing look inside that nation and its leadership. He refers to the fact that one 2006 cable refers to the Gaddafi family and therefore the nation of Libya as Gaddafi Incorporated. It looks like there is a good deal of sibling rivalry within this lecherous clan, and they've been robbing their own country literally into poverty. There is a lot going on here. As a matter of fact, the eccentricities of Muammar Gaddafi in his 40 years of despotic rule are now coming to light in ways that probably indicate something of why that nation has reached a boiling point. Colonel Gaddafi is described, and by the way, he's 68 years old, as a hypochondriac who fears flying over water, often fasts on both Mondays and Thursdays, is a fan of horse racing, and once added the title King of Culture to the long list of titles that he had already awarded himself. Now, there are all kinds of things going on here, but the one thing that ought to have our attention is the fact that this kind of unrest is now indicative of a larger foment throughout the Arab world. First Tunisia, then Egypt, and as you look backwards, even earlier movements in Lebanon, now also in Libya, Bahrain, and elsewhere. The Kingdom of Saud in Saudi Arabia also has to be wondering if their own nation is next. As many observers have noted, there are basically two ways that despotic Arab rulers have kept their people in check. They are basically guns and money. Guns have been the choice of people like Muammar Gaddafi, who are clearly willing to gun down their own people. The Saudis have used money, paying their own citizens lavishly out of the nation's oil wealth in hopes that that would buy a placid population. Will it work? Well, day by day, that is drawn more deeply into question. Of course, many Americans are looking to Wisconsin and now also Ohio and Indiana, where there is a showdown in each of these states, and of course it's going to spread to others, over the issue of public sector unions. Now, one of the realities we have to keep in mind here is that these public sector unions are the only real growth in the entire union movement these days. And that's why there is so much vehemence and so much energy that is invested in defense of the collective bargaining rights of these unions. What we need to note today is that this is spreading not only from Wisconsin to states like Ohio and Indiana, but also to states that have Democratic governors such as California and New York. In reality, the public pension crisis is a debacle which could bring down virtually any state that has such a large group of public workers. This should remind us of something that Christians should always be cognizant about, and that is that a democracy requires that most of the persons who are citizens are not under the payroll of the government. There is some kind of significant tipping point that comes when a majority, or for that matter, a significantly large minority of citizens are working for the government. This is one of the major problems in many of the nations of Western Europe, and also right now in Britain as well. A frighteningly large percentage of people are actually employees of the government, which makes it virtually impossible, because they do, after all, retain the vote, to limit the size and growth of government. There's another really interesting story out about Great Britain. It's from The Economist of London in the Baggyhoe column, and this is what it has to tell us. There are three major party leaders in Great Britain right now. They include David Cameron, the Tory or Conservative Party leader, Nick Clegg, the Liberal Party leader, and Ed Miliband, the new Labour leader. Now, what's interesting about them? They all have young children. All of them. Each of them has a child under the age of 2, and none of them has a child older than 9. Why would that be important? Well, as even The Economist of London now recognizes, parenthood does make a difference in perspective. And as you consider the debates and the changed landscape of those debates, politically and economically speaking, in Great Britain, it's interesting that at least some very informed and thoughtful observers are looking to the fact that all three of these party leaders are the parents of very young children. At least one thing is clear. If you are the parent of a very young child, you have a very deep investment in a very long future. That can only be healthy. It's another reminder to Christians of the fact that God has a plan for us in the gift of the family that goes beyond the family itself. Being a parent, having the experience of fathering a child and raising that child, having responsibility for that child, is going to make the difference, a very clear difference, in how a man manages also the affairs of state. Thanks for listening to The Briefing. For more information, go to my website at albertmoeller.com. You can also follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com/Albert Moeller. For information about the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, go to sbts.edu. For information about Boyce College, go to boycecollege.com. I'll meet you again tomorrow for The Briefing.